you know, it's Father's Day, and last week was Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Jesus had resurrected. And my dad asked me when he came in the building, by the way, he's preaching at Jewel City Church in Chinston, West Virginia this morning for Pastor Robert Singleton. And he asked me when he came in last week, he said, "Are you preaching on Pentecost?" And I said, "Every day's Pentecost." And he said, "So you're not?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to get stuck in just because it's a certain day, you have to preach on the theme of what that day is. I want to obey Holy Spirit." And so if Holy Spirit leads to preach on what the topic of the day is, that's great. And we will, by God's grace, be sensitive to that. And so I didn't preach on Pentecost Sunday last week. We preached on performance anxiety and how to overcome that. And I've found out more times than not, when you are performing to receive a religious love from God, acceptance, it's just a publicity stunt. So this morning, we're going to learn exactly what the kids learned in Vacation Bible School. So get your Bibles out, if you would, on this Father's Day, and tell your neighbor as you do, life is wild, but God is good. And the very last PowerPoint at the bottom of that is my notes, babe. The very first thing that the kids learned on the first night was that when life is unfair, God is good. Have you ever been in any situation through life that you could look at and you could point back to and you can say, that wasn't fair? Amen. Anybody in the house? And one person raised their hand. I mean, you didn't get a job that you thought you deserved. You didn't win the trophy that you wanted. You didn't get the girlfriend or the boyfriend that you wanted. And don't look at your wife. Things are unfair. During one of the nights of the Vacation Bible School, one of the young boys didn't want to participate. He wanted to do something else that was in the performance than he was getting to do, and he was pouting just a little bit. So I went up to him, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Well, I want to do this, but they said I had to do this because somebody else is already doing what I want to do." And I said, "Life's unfair. You don't always get," and if we can get the children to understand that life isn't always fair, why isn't life fair? Because people have a free will.
That's right.
And even though Gary makes a decision in his free will, it affects other people around him. And so the decision that he made that has consequences, even on his family, can cause life to be unfair for them. Doesn't mean that you deserve what you got or you don't deserve what you did get. It just means that life is unfair sometimes. But even when life is unfair, say it like the kid said it, God is good. Over in Nahum, the first chapter, verse 7, it says, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble." Right off the bat, that very first phrase there tells us about our Heavenly Father. The Lord is good. Go throughout the book of Psalms, go throughout the scripture, and look at how many times the Bible tells us that God is good and that His mercy endures. So even when life is unfair, health situations come at you, financial situations are bogging down on you, relationships that are toxic and sometimes don't seem fair, we can know that God is good. The slaves that were in Egypt for 400 years, could you imagine being enslaved for 400 years? Do you think they got what they wanted? Do you think that they wanted to make bricks and mix mortar and bring hay and manure together and let it dry in the heat of the sun to build Pharaoh his empire? It was hard in those times of trouble to recognize that God was good. If we can't recognize that God is good, even when things aren't going so good for us, we're going to have a difficult time seeing our Heavenly Father as a good father. Thankfully, they got to see the hand of the Lord as he brought them out of Egypt. The plagues didn't affect them. Come on. Amen. That takes us to our second point. When life is scary, God is good. Amen. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close by my side. He didn't lead you there, but he won't leave you there. When things are scary, you got health situations, people get a diagnosis, and I've seen them. I've been recently in the room with people who have passed away, gone from one breath in the earth into another breath into the presence of the Lord, and that's scary for folks. It's scary when people lose their children, and you're not supposed to bury your children. We should our children should outlive us. It's unfair, and sometimes it can bring fear on us when certain situations. How many of you, just by a show of hands, you battle with fear in one area or another? I mean, I know great people of God that have situations in their life that it's a trigger for them to bring fear on their life. Children that were adults that were abandoned as children and neglected. And then they get into a relationship and they feel rejected and neglected. And then that relationship breaks up and their partner leaves them. And when that happens, fear grips them because they feel like they're going to be alone and abandoned again. But we can grab a hold of Psalm 23 where David said that even in our darkest hours, when it doesn't seem like there's any hope and fear wants to try to grip us, perfect love, Jesus, cast out all fear and that he's right by our side. When those plagues came upon the children of Egypt, not the children of Israel, but they saw what was happening. They saw the river turn to blood. They saw the boils. They saw the frogs. It didn't affect them, but it was scary to know they had been in slavery for 400 years, whipped, beaten. Some of their loved ones had even been killed. Moses was one of them that killed some of them. But it got a little bit fearful. Things got a little bit scary when they saw those plagues come upon them. I know it seems simple. I know you think, well, this is a children's lesson, but there are still people in church pews on Father's Day 2019 that don't realize that God is good. Amen. Because as soon as fear grips us, as soon as things happen to us that seem unfair, we'll say, well, we've got to place the blame. We're looking for some, well, the devil did that, or why did God allow that to happen? The devil and God had nothing to do with it. A lot of times, and most of the times, it's decisions that people have made or that we have made, and because of those situations, life is unfair and life is scary, but we have to learn and remember that God is good. Amen. Ever had any life changes? Things change in life, don't they? 1 minute you're in elementary school, and the next minute you're in high school, and then the only thing you can think about is driving a car. And now I've been driving a car longer than I waited to drive a car. And then you have kids, and then your kids go through elementary school, and then they're in high school, and all of a sudden all three of them have already graduated from college, and one more is about to. Life changes. The next cycle of life is going to be grandkids. Life changes. Nobody's pregnant. We just said that's going to happen in the future by God's grace. We're not. That wasn't an announcement. That's just something we have to look forward to. I mean, how many of you have retired? Look at the hands of people that have retired. Worked for years and years and years, and then one day they didn't have to get up to go to work. And so life changed. That can be scary when life throws changes at you. God is good. Even when things change in life. Psalm 106 verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That means in every season of life and every change of life, his love never ceases. It never fails. It's always there.
Amen.
And because of his love, we know that he is good to us. I used to sit in the sanctuary and have stories told about me by my dad. And now I get to stand in the pulpit and tell stories about my dad. Life has changed. And God is good. He's not here this morning. I'll hear about it, yep. Because I'll hear about it because some of you all will tattle on me and you'll go tell him. And that brings me to the next point. When life is sad, God is good. I won't be afraid. There are so many things that get hurled at us that are unfair, that are changes in life, and we have to remember that even when we have discouragement, even when you feel hopeless, I can't tell you how many people that I encounter on a weekly basis. It's amazing that what religion will cause people to hide what they're going through. And they won't go for help with anyone because, like last week I was telling you, you have to perform and you have a fake persona. You put on a mask, you become a hypocrite. And your people are sad, they're depressed, they're discouraged, they're full of anxiety and worry. But then they come to church and they put this smile on and they act like something that they're not. And so I look at your snapshot, I look at your outside, and I know what's going on internally with me. And then I begin to compare the way I feel inside to the way you're acting on the outside, not knowing that you're just as bad off as I am. And then we're all fake and nobody knows how to help one another. But when you come to a place where the grace of God is being spread, and it doesn't mean that we don't deal with sin, but it means that when we deal with sin, there's a freedom and there's no judgment in that because the grace of God covers that.
Amen.
But people are sad and depressed and discouraged and hopeless, and religion isn't giving them God is good.
Amen.
Religion doesn't tell you God is good. Religion tells you God is a taskmaster. And because you have sinned, then you have to do A through Z to get back in right standing with him. No, that's been settled.
Amen.
God settled that at the cross, and he took care of that because of Jesus and what Jesus did, and the work has been finished. So when you come to a place where there's freedom, see, in a climate of freedom, people are going to test the waters. And so we have to allow them a space of grace in this place of grace so that they can grow.
Amen.
If we're going to be judgmental, see, we can preach a judgment-free zone and the love of God and God is good, but if people walk in the door and they encounter you and you automatically judge them because they have a rainbow pin on, or you think they look like something that they shouldn't be, or they're identifying with something that you don't think is godly, before they even sit down and hear a song or hear a message of good news, they'll never come back because we're judging them. And I didn't say that, you know, that those things are acceptable. I didn't say that those things are godly. That's between them and God. Okay? But what we're going to do is we're going to love them. We're going to share with them. Why would I come to a place as a pastor where 99% of the people in the house are believers and be so sin conscious that I beat you down with sin every week? I want to speak to the son that's in you, the son of God. Now, if we're on a one-on-one basis and in that climate of freedom, you begin to share your story with me, we can deal with that as we deal on an individual basis, one-on-one. You do the same when you encounter people. And see, I'm not worried about people going to hell. I'm worried about getting the people that are living hell on earth out of the hell on earth that they're living in. That's why people are sad. They're discouraged. They're lonely. They feel rejected and neglected. We've got to tell them that God is good. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." Now, Vanessa narrated and she said that when Jesus went to the cross, it was a sad day. Now, when we look back at it post-cross on this side of the cross, it wasn't a sad day. We don't look back at the cross and say that it was sad. We call it Good Friday.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
But you have to put yourself in the position that the disciples were in. They had placed for 3 years, they had placed all of their hope and trust in this guy called Jesus, who they thought was the Messiah, that they thought maybe one day he would pull out the swords and he would overthrow Rome and that they would be set free from the domination of the Roman Empire. But all of a sudden, he's been taken to a cross and he's being crucified on a cross. That was a sad day for the disciples and those who had been following Jesus for 3.5 years. Can you imagine that your spiritual leader that had changed everything? I mean, Peter, James, and John were fishermen. They had been fishing all of their life since they were young boys, and all of a sudden a rabbi comes and says, come follow me. That was a privilege for a Jewish boy to learn under a rabbi, and so they took the opportunity to leave everything that they had and to follow Jesus. They gave up everything to follow him. It was a sad day for them. But can somebody say thank God for Resurrection Sunday? Yes. God is good even when times are sad. And then lastly, when life is good, God is good. We have to remember, like Nehemiah said in 4:14, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. So life's unfair, but God is good. Life brings changes. God is good. Life can get scary. God is good. Life can become sad. God is good. And we can't forget that when the blessings are flowing, there's money in the bank, there's food on the table, the kids are all doing well, there's no problems that are really facing us, health is good, mom and dad are doing great, grandma and grandpa are doing great, the job is good. Even in the good times, God is good. We can't forget that. God doesn't turn good because we're good. God is good because he's good. And even when we're bad, he's good. And when God didn't put those bad situations on us, even when we get ourselves in a mess, he is still good. But because we're in good times and we have the blessings in our life that are very evident and we can feel them and we can sense them and see them all around us, we can't forget that that is because God Amen. Is good. Amen. Wow. Yeah. So that's why at Grace Life we will continue to preach son consciousness and a loving father. Yeah. That's why we want to start with the children. That God is good. All the time. Amen. God is good. Jennifer, if you would play for us this morning. I don't know how you were raised. I don't know what your church affiliation or background is. I do know some of you for several years now, and I know where you came from. But even prior to that, as children, things get locked into our memories. And if we're not careful, we allow those to become strongholds or hookups, hang-ups in our life. And if we're not careful, before too long, those hang-ups become habits. And we're adults, and we're acting out of a hurt as a child. And so if we don't allow Holy Spirit to take us back to those memories as a child and let him heal those memories, when we get into situations that bring discouragement, that seem unfair, and that are challenging to us, if we're acting out of that hurt, we'll reflect upon God out of that hurt, and we'll think that God's punishing us, that God's mad at us, that I have to do certain things to get back in graces with God. You ever heard that? I'm not in good graces with God. People tell me that all the time. I'm just not in good with God right now. Well, he's good with you.
Amen.
Because of what Jesus did. But I think a lot of times we can't think that way, because as young children, we had things happen to us in school, at home, different things. I believe there are people in the building today and watching by the internet that you still have hurts that because that happened to you as a child. And because of it, you think God is good. But when things get scary, it's amazing to me. I got in the habit of doing it when people would come to be healed, receive their healing. I was praying for them, and I would lay hands on them. I would try to remind God how good they'd been. Father, here's Jerry. He served in the church for 20 years. He gives his tithe faithfully. He loves his wife. He works hard. God said so. So now when I pray for people, I remind God, God, you've been good. You're faithful. Jesus took the beating. The stripes were laid upon his back. He paid for our healing. This is your child, and it's your will. It's the children's bread for us to be healed, so we speak manifestation of healing and life over. Why? Because God is good. It doesn't matter whether we've been good or bad. You know, somebody smokes for 75 years and they have lung cancer. God's not going to punish them and not want to heal them because they made a decision. Okay? The only thing smoking do is just bad for your health, and God hates it because it's ruining your life, health-wise. But I can say the same thing to the sugarholics. Because God doesn't want us to ruin our lives. He has good plans and intentions for us. We could spend all day long in every scenario that we could even come up with and imagine, and God's still good. Would you stand with me this morning? If you struggle in your own heart and mind to believe that God is good, I want you to remember this from the scripture. Jesus said, unless you become as a little child. Didn't say childish, childlike. What do you mean? You tell a child that God is good, show them a couple stories, give them a snack, they believe God's good. But we as adults struggle with so many different things in our lives and concepts and religious mindsets and how we've interpreted scripture. And we just got to throw all of that out the window and have faith as a child this morning to believe that God is good. Even in any circumstance that I'm dealing with, God is good. So I want to pray with you this morning. And as I pray with you, I believe there's three areas that you could be in this morning in this building. Number one, maybe you've never had that childlike faith to believe that what Jesus did at the cross can give you brand new life. And you just want to simply put your faith and trust. See, because the Bible tells us that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. It's simple faith to believe that what Jesus did at the cross, that blood still has power to cleanse you, to make you a brand new creature. Number two, maybe you have believed in what Jesus did at the cross and you received new life, but you've been discouraged, you've been disappointed, you've not really believed that God was good, and because you haven't believed God was good, you haven't been good. See, because right believing will lead to right living. And it's not that you haven't believed in what he's done, but now you have a misconception of who he is, and it keeps you in turmoil. And so you need to be reawakened to the grace of God that's already in you. There's a lot of vocabulary and terms that you can use, a rededication. I don't believe in backsliding. I believe that once you received it, it's yours forever. You just may not be living in it and walking in it. And it's like the prodigal son. He never stopped being a son, but he did return to the place of blessing. And then I think there's a third place. This morning you believed in Jesus. You've received brand new life and you've been living that. And you know that God is good and your behavior has been lining up with that. But maybe life is unfair. Maybe life is become sad. Maybe life has become scary to you. Maybe there's changes going on in your life that is tugging on, causing some doubt. So any of those three areas this morning, as I pray, wherever you are, would you just let Holy Spirit deal with you and speak to you, and then respond as we pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you that you are good all the time. It's not just a cliche, and that all the time you are good. You never change. You've turned your countenance towards us. You're smiling upon us. You're giving us peace and mercy. The benefits of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord are profusely overflowing to these your children this morning. So we thank you now, Holy Spirit, as you speak to your children, may you remind them of who they are. Stir up that grace within them once again. May they realize that they've never stopped being a son. For those that have never received the fact that they are a son, may they place their faith and trust in the cross of Jesus this morning. For those who are discouraged, they're battling, they're facing health issues, they're facing financial collapse, they've got relationships that are toxic, and things are changing, and life seems a little bit unfair and scary this morning. May you just come in power and remind them without a shadow of a doubt that you are good and that you have their best interest, that you are holding us. Our times are in your hands, and because of Jesus, you will not let us go. We thank you for it. Now, as we sing, may we respond to the call of God in Jesus' name. Amen.